Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach. And I am here with yet another high demand coach who is sure to get you thinking today. And that is the one, the only Terrence Chapman, who has served as a senior executive in leadership roles at Johnson & Johnson, Citibank, and Coca-Cola. Ever heard of those? Terrence is a transformational leader amongst senior executives and CEOs. He holds a doctorate in humanities from Ohio Christian University, and he's best known as a change agent for his creative leadership, being able to build transformational, sustainable communities and driving business essentials across diverse industries. Also, all of that resulting in organizational efficiency and optimized revenue and profit growth. Now, during the past 4 years, however, Chapman has served as the president of the John Maxwell Leadership Foundation and Equip Leadership, and is now part of an amazing ministry called Victorious Families. So we're going to dive into all of that in a bit. But Terrence, I'd love to hear from you before we get to all of that. What were you doing before getting into Victorious Families, and how did that ultimately lead you to make the leap?
You know, it's great to be here, first of all. What a wonderful connection again, man, to catch up. You know, I started in corporate America, as you mentioned, with Fortune 500 companies. I had the good fortune to rise, you know, to pretty high executive levels, as I think in the last stint with the Coca-Cola company and managing about 2/3 of the Coca-Cola company, and I thought, you know, the Lord would have me complete that route. I had my first business when I was 6 years old, and so I have a love and passion for the marketplace. But during that time, I felt He was calling me in the ministry, but I wanted to be a pastor. Right. You know, I nothing wrong with being a pastor. I just didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't feel called to be a pastor. But, you know, I wanted to be obedient. I knew He was using me in some way. And as I began to pray as to, Lord, what will You have me to do? And what, you know, where are You working? Henry Blackaby always said, you find out where the Lord's working and you join Him there. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that although I was a youth director in church, we were facing the crises of, you know, 75% of children leaving the church after high school.
Wow.
And our kids at that time was between 10 and 15 years of age. And my wife was, and I didn't want our kids to be part of that statistic. And so the question came up, well, what are we going to do about it? Well, her question was really more, what are you going to do about it? And I'm like, what are you going to do about it? What's the church going to do about it? We had abdicated that responsibility to the church, as many parents do. In fact, 83% of parents feel totally inadequate to raise their kids in the Lord.
Wow.
And so her response was, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, yeah, let me pray through this. And as I began to pray through this and capture that information, I realized that we needed to be more intentional in raising our kids in the Lord. And that really what put us on this roadmap or this pathway of family discipleship training.
Wow. Wow. So a big part of what you do, I actually had an opportunity to hear you speak. It was unbelievable. You do workshops for families and companies all over the country. But one of the things that really struck me, and it was like, why did this strike me? Because it's so obvious, but you don't think of it, is we've had lots of folks come on and talk about business plans, right? And the success that you drive with a business plan. I would say if folks don't have one, they know they need one, right? In the business world, we kind of get that. But I don't know of many people who have a family plan, at least not in the way that you've described it. So tell, what is a family plan? How did you find out about this? And why is it so beneficial for folks listening?
Well, you're spot on. In fact, less than 1% of Christians have a written spiritual plan. And we are planners, as you mentioned. I mean, we have, you know, state plans. We have, we'd never think to start a business without a business plan. We would never think to start a church without a ministry plan. We would never even think to go on vacation without a vacation plan. I don't know too many people that just gets in the car, hey, or whatever place, like wherever it takes me, that's the destination. We are planners. However, when I, you know, was kind of growing through this process, I was encouraged to write a life plan. And as I looked at the life plan, I thought, well, what do we have for the family? What are we being intentional about the family? And during that time with the Lord, it was just, it took me to Ephesians 6:4 that talked about fathers really speaking to parents, don't exasperate your children, but to do what? To train and instruct them in the Lord. And that's really family discipleship. We say that family is the most important relationship that we have. Everything else is second, third, fourth, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Family have always ranked number one. But yet, we see a moral and spiritual decay in our families today across this nation. And by the way, when we operate in about 39 countries around the world, about 43 states. We see the same thing on five continents, that parents want to do the right thing, but sometimes they just don't know how. And so what got us into this process, this all started with a personal interest, a personal desire to see my family strong and healthy and flourishing. I had no passion or thought to take this beyond my family. I mean, this was for me, okay? And I realized as the Lord was leading and guiding me through just long stories, he was connecting me with other people and other business leaders, especially. And the other business leader was talking to me about, you know, I'm doing well in the office, so to speak. I'm building a strong business, but my family is struggling. And what do I do? And so we began to work with executive leaders who had the passion to do it. Maybe not the time, maybe not the intentionality. And we wanted to help them with their families.
Yeah, so good. And I want to drill in on that group in particular, because we've got a lot of them listening to this show. But why is it that executive leaders, founders, owners, why is it that they don't take that same initiative that they use every day in the office and make a plan at home?
Yeah, so let's look at some of those elements, right? As a business leader, you understand that you need to have a vision, right? You need to identify the destination. And then, you know, the mission talks about how do you get to that destination, right? And so how do you get there, right? And then you begin to build values around that. So the DNA of the organization, the culture of the organization aligns up. Then there's strategic initiatives and tactics and things. So we understand all of those elements of planning. But what happens when it comes to our personal life, what we have to realize as we examine, we have to look, just like in business, is what are the gaps? What are the things we're not good at? What are the things that we need to have efficiency, so to speak, in the marketplace? But in our families, it's a little different, right? We're the executive leader in our offices, but at home, we're the chief janitorial director. You know, we're the dishwasher, we're the garbage, you know, we're the waste management and all of that good stuff. But here's something that's very important as we look at these elements. What are our true values? What do we really believe versus what we say we believe is really real? What do we really believe about ourselves? What's our true value? And if we examine our wallets, we examine our checkbooks, we examine our time, we examine, you know, where are we spending those things, the time, the talent, the treasures, and things of that nature, we'll find that maybe, just maybe, we're not putting as much intentionality into spiritual side of planning of life versus a secular side of life. Right. And then we begin to look at that. But one of the things I want to encourage is that I'm a planner and I have to think that way and move out that way. But I want you to know that when we're in this life plan process, although we want to focus so much on the destination, I want to encourage us that the Lord is moving and he's always with us, but he's moving day by day. It's just too daunting for us to see the destination. Although we know that destination, we know the victory that we've already been had if you're a Christian. If you're a non-Christian, you're seeking that. And so there's a void there. But I want to encourage us in the planning process to think day by day, focus by focus. You know, in the marketplace, I always thought focused, targeted execution. Focused, targeted execution. I couldn't do everything. I could do a few things really well. I could target on that, and we can execute with high efficiency. Mm-hmm. What does that look like at home? In our case, we're talking focused in prayer, focused in reading God's word, focused in worship, focused in discipling, you know, building a relationship with your children so that they can fall madly in love with Jesus. How do they do that? Well, they have to come to a personal relationship with him. They have to begin to connect with him. They have to begin to read his truth and understand what that looks like. They have to begin to worship with others and commune with others and things like that. That's why worship is so important. And so what does that look like in your home? That was the key for me.
Yeah. And I would do one more question on that, and then I want to shift gears a little bit. But what do you put in a family plan? And maybe even what should you not put in a family plan?
Yeah. So we're going to help you with what is your vision? Yeah. What's your destiny? What are you looking for? You know, when your kids are 21 years old, what do you want that description to be? Right. Then the mission, you know, how do you get there? But values, we'll help you build out those values. What are the true values of your home? What do you desire them to be? And then we look at age and stage. You know, how do you begin to disciple a 5-year-old, which is different than how you disciple a 16-year-old? For example, there's building blocks in this process. In 0 to 5, your kids they need and they're seeking to be loved. Mm. Spoil them to death, I always say, right? They need hugs. They need affection. They need love. They know that they need to know in that age that they're loved and cared for. In 6 to 10, they start to need to know that their purpose and that they matter. They need to be affirmed. And so studies have shown that when they're 11 to 15, 16, they're looking for fun and friendship. And that's why they're on the social media and connecting. And that's why teens' peer pressure is so high. They need that connectivity. They need that community, if you will. Mm. And they see it in fun, and, you know, they accomplish that in fun and friendship building and things like that. And then when they get, you know, older, 17 on, they think they're grown. They're looking to be, you know, interdependent, if you will. They know they can't be dependent, but they don't want to be their father's Chevrolet. They want to be independent. And so if they miss any of those building blocks, there's a void in their life and they seek them for the rest of their life. And worldview is being shaped between the ages of 3 and 14 years of age. So those are the most critical age groups, 3 to 14. And that's what's happening within those age groups. So your plan should be thinking about how do you connect with your children between the ages of 3 and 14, especially.
Right.
And building, you know, kind of specific targets around those time frames. And I told you some of those targets, and we help people flesh that out. And then we look at it's bigger than you. It's bigger than just your family. You have to think about others. In fact, in John 17, he talks about his prayer to the Father, to the disciples and so forth, and to us, was for the people. He came, he sacrificed, he did those things. He said for the people. He never prayed for himself.
Yeah.
He prayed to do the Father's will. He prayed for the disciples. He prayed for us and those to come. And so what is your prayer? So we have a piece in there that talks about adopting a family member, an extended family member. And how does that look like? How do you basically pray for that family member and that they would know to come to the Lord? And then we have a piece in there called family covenant. What promises are you willing to make as a family to one another?
Wow.
And they could be wherever you want to take that. Now, you don't have to have all of those components. And by the way, it's not about the plan. What it is about the process, and it's about the fact that you want to connect with your family in a stronger way and be intentional about it. And let me give you a stat that's very important. Remember that 75% of youth walking away from the church after high school? We've been doing this now for 15 years, working with parents. We trained over 100,000 parents here in the U.S. And when I think about it, but those who were consistently, as we look back on the 10 years, folks have been through our process for 10 years. As we look back on that, instead of 75% leaving the church after high school, we are seeing a 90% stick factor. Wow. 90% are sticking with the faith after high school. They may leave for a little bit, but they come back. And they typically definitely should come back once they have their first child. Mm-hmm. Now it all hits them. So if you want to see a 90% stick factor versus a 75% flight factor, you may want to tune in.
Yeah, that's so good. So maybe just as quickly as you can, this is a weighted question, but how do you prevent that plan from becoming another dusty document in some pile in your attic, right? Like, how do you actually put this into action?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, well, how do you put any plan into action and keep it fresh, right? We got to live it. We have to walk in the spirit. We have to live it out. We have to be intentional. For example, you know, how do you look at your prayer life on a daily basis? He said, the Father said, give him the first fruit. What does that look like? Right. So we have all what they call a rhythm. We have a daily rhythm. And so we also have resources for our people. So, you know, they need to understand what is their daily rhythm.
Yeah.
When is their energy levels, right? And how do they use those energy levels? What are they doing in the morning, the afternoon, and the evenings? And so we help you with those weekly rhythms, so to speak, and daily rhythms. But we build a customized plan for you that fit within your lifestyle. So, you know, you're not going to, you know, we try to change people and, you know, all of a sudden we try to make them gym rats and stuff like that. They go to the gym about 3 or 4 months and then that's it. You know, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, I lost 3. I'm good, right? I'm back to doing my old habits. This is habits and you're building, but this is something different. What you're saying is, if the Father is the highest priority in your life, if that we say that's the case, and then if you're married, your spouse, your children, and everything else, if we truly have it in that order, and we're not giving the first fruit to the highest priority that we say in our life that brings eternity and all this. So think about the sacrifice that he made for us. So at the end of the day, think about, let's take it off the Christianity side. Let's take it to the business side and just regular life. What do we give our first priorities to? The things that we love, the things that we have passion for, the things that we admire and desire and things like that. So if the greatest love that you have is the Father, why not give him your first fruit? Why not prioritize it? So we don't have a busyness problem. We have a prioritization issue. Mm. And if we prioritize what I call the temporal versus the eternal, we will end up with the temporal. But he says to prioritize something greater. And I believe that this is something greater. What is greater than your spouse and your family and to see an eternity of fruit? I can't think of anything greater, but maybe there are some other things.
That's awesome. So I want to just piggyback right on that. And there's a question I like to ask all my guests, and it's this. What is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing that you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
You know, the biggest secret is that God is your roadmap. You know, I didn't want God to be my roadmap. I was a Christian and all of that, but I realized what I really was seeking was recognition or acknowledgement. I was, you know, not really thinking about it, achievement and those things. I mean, they excited me. I was a pitcher growing up. And so, you know, as a pitcher, my job was to strike folks out. My job was to dominate. My job was to lead and be the leader of that team and strive out. I'm competitive, right? I'm not as competitive as heck, right? When you go 18-0 and you're thinking that, man, I'm indestructible, right? And so you go through that life, and as an executive leader, I mean, you know, you're leading every day, thousands of people and resting on your shoulders and things. Well, I want people to know that at the end of the day, there's a welcoming committee. There's a great welcoming committee that you'll have. And that welcoming committee, you have no control of. It's one that the Lord will be welcoming you. And can you imagine that one day you meet your most, you know, that day you meet your glorious Father, and he turns and he says, a welcoming committee, your terrace comes out and no one comes out. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your children, no one comes out because you simply have not been faithful in your walk. It's still going to be a glorious day because you're with your Father. But then I want you to imagine a different day, a day that he says, you know, welcoming committee comes out and greet terrorists for the first time. And your father and your mother, your sister, your brother, your children, your friends, your neighbors, people that you didn't even know was impacted by what you do because of the life that you lived and the way that you loved, which is a secret sauce, love well. Imagine that day. and the fruits are placed at the feet of Jesus, your crowns, your treasures. Is that something worth achieving? Is that something worth giving your time to? I think it is. And that's why we talk about victorious family. It's a generational impact of loving well, not just a moment. It's a generational in a lifetime. And I think it's worth my investment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. So, Terrence, I know folks are listening to this and just every word is hitting, right? It's just again and again and again. So what's the next step? How do they learn more about the work that you guys do there? Where should they go from here?
Well, there's a few steps, but one, go to Victorious, I-O-U-S, victoriousfamily.org. We do three things, we have coaches and trainings, workshops and resources. Check that out. You know, look at our free blogs and messaging. Amazing leaders, we call them champions, speaking into these topics. Barna just did an amazing topic on teens and how to disciple teens, and that's on our podcast. So, you know, just check out those different things. But here's maybe a tip to get started. We have a home kit. It's a family discipleship home kit. Get one. I mean, it's this $69.97. We made it very reasonable. It's a study guide, how to write the plan. It walks you through. It gives you critical resources like 7 days of prayer, 7 days of devotional. Just kind of a starter kit, so to speak, to get you started. And then if you want to go deeper, we have workshops and things like that. But maybe that's the place to start. Go to our website, victoriousfamily.org. Get our starter kit, our home kit. And then if you want to go deeper and you want to get more information, we'd love to connect with you.
Fantastic. Well, Terrence, just an honor and privilege having you on. Thank you so much for being here. It's rare that you get someone who has as much experience and success in both the business and the nonprofit world, helping lead both businesses and families. And it's a testament to just the way that you go about life and the family plan in your own life. So thanks for doing that. I appreciate you being on the show. For those of you watching, listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.